Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Lay. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building. Nigga.
Yeah. It's all right. Already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come to the show.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, a special PGA DFS podcast because it is Masters Week. Finally, it's November, but it's Masters Week. You can check me out on Twitter at BDNTrick. My co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing?
Dude, I'm ready. I'm loving it.
I know you've only tried to talk about your Masters picks for about 3 weeks now, so I think it's official. you can do this.
Yeah.
So that's good. But we have a special guest who usually joins us for the Masters and other events throughout the year. You can find him on Twitter at Kevin's Delight. Kevin, how are we doing, man?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Great. Always great to have you on the show. Oh, great. But
thanks for having me.
All right. Well, we're not going to talk Houston Open. Congrats, Carlos Ortiz. First win. Good for you. Awesome. Glad to see. But we're going to go into the Masters, the bread and butter of it all. First off, before we do past history, Kevin, as a guy that's visited Augusta, and Jesse, you have as well, so we'll get to you also. How different do you think November plays than the normal time of year?
I don't think it plays very different. There may be some more Bermuda in the ground still. It's still fairly warm here in the South. The overseeded rye has come in fairly well, obviously, as pictures have shown since they showed it brown several weeks ago. But it might be a little sticky, like the players say, and the Bermuda is prevalent down here in the South. It hadn't gone anywhere quite yet. So it might play a little longer, a little stickier.
Yeah, what do you think, Jesse?
That's what I've been hearing on, you know, the stuff that you see on the Golf Channel and stuff like that, is basically that around the green is going to be a little bit trickier. Jordan Spieth did say, like Kevin just said, that it's going to be playing a little bit longer. And I think a lot of that has to do with the weather. I mean, obviously we'll talk weather here shortly too, but I don't know that we get, I think it's a little bit more of a luck fest this year, just a little bit than usual. So I'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, getting the draw is different. We have 92 golfers this year. The cut's a little different. Instead of, you know, top 60s and within 10 shots or whatever, it's T50s and ties, which is cool because it's almost like a full field regular cut in theory. But we'll talk why it's actually not with the player pool here pretty soon. But we got that in play. The draw is different. Instead of everyone teeing off on one, we're having split draws, which is different for the Masters. And we'll talk weather, like you said, it could really affect – like you said, the luck of the draw literally could come into play on this. But let's talk some past event history real quick, Jesse, as there's obviously lots of it. I think some guy in red won last year.
Yeah, may or may not know who he is. Tiger Woods won last year, one shot over Brooks, DJ, and Xander. If you remember 2019, it seems like it was last year, but, you know, I mean, 2020 has been the equivalent of at least a decade at this point. In the way that, as long as it's taken to get through 2020, Molinari was in contention there, dropped one in the water on 15. Jay Day was up there. Tony Finau had a top five. Webb was in the top five. 2018 was the year of Patrick Reed.
Yes.
one shot over Ricky, two shots over Jordan. John Rahm finished fourth. Bubba was fifth, along with Cameron Smith, Henrik Stenson and Rory McIlroy. That was the year that Rory and Patrick Reed went into the final group on Sunday together, and everybody and their mother thought it was Rory's year. And then Patrick shot 71, which is one under, and Rory shot 74, which is obviously two over. And so Patrick picked up the trophy there. And then 2017 was the year of the Sergio. That was in the playoff over Justin Rose. They beat Charles Schwartz. Both of them beat Charles Schwartzel by three shots. Matt Kuchar was in the top four along with Thomas Peters. Strong showing from Paul Casey, another top 10 for Rory McIlroy. Adam Scott also in the top 10 that year. 2016 was the year of Danny Willett, the year that Jordan Spieth had a humongous lead and completely shit all over the place coming in. It was a weird year because the scores were low that year. Danny Willett wins. Jordan Spieth puts multiple balls in the water on 12, and so he wins by three over Spieth and Westwood. DJ in the top five as well there. Paul Casey, top five. Decky in the top seven. I mean, I could go on, man. I could just talk about every single damn year. Jordan Spieth won in 2015. 2014 was the year of Bubba Watson. That was the year that he hit the shot in the playoff out of the – No.
That wasn't the Pine Straw year.
No. That was because he won by three shots that year over Jonas Blix and Jordan Spieth. Adam Scott won in 2013. 2012 was the year that Bubba hit the shot on 10 in the playoff over Louis Oosthuizen. And then 2011, Charles Schwartzel. I mean, I could go on and on, but we'll stop there.
Yeah, no, there's tons of history, as we'll talk about, course history, because we all enjoy course history on this show, and we have it this time. That's one thing that's tried and true with Augusta National. And real quick, you mentioned Sergio. For those that sleep under a rock, Sergio's not playing this week because of COVID. Neither is Joaquin Niemann. So that kind of – I'm not going to say – a lot of people said you shouldn't have played in Houston, but, hey, a lot of guys played in Houston are playing this week. So, you know, stuff happens. But let's talk the course preview, Kevin. What do you got for us on Augusta National?
Yeah, I thought it was a par 72 until I heard Bryson open his mouth yesterday saying it's a par 67.
Where is he? Let's talk about that for a second. Where is he getting this extra shot from? Obviously, all the par fives for him are par fours. Is he thinking three?
Yeah, probably three, where he's hitting it over the green with a three metal.
Crazy.
I guess that makes it 67. And if that's the case for him, then the rest of the field's got no chance.
I mean, three is the toughest par three, the toughest hole in the world, then, if it's a par three.
But yeah, whatever. Yeah, 350 yards is pretty good.
They said a three with 350. Like, give me a break.
But even if you drive that green or drive it over that green, I mean, around that green, it's not a guaranteed up and down. I mean,
it's not.
Weird to me, but
you've seen guys that drive it short left to that green that chip it up and it comes back down to their feet at times, and it's not easy. So I guess you're better served driving it over the green if you can, and Lord knows you can do it.
I guess.
Yeah. So what do you got, Kev?
Well, anyway, Augusta National, fun fact on Augusta, you know, every single hole is an even number, so 445 or 440 or 575. It never ends in a 2 or a 3 or 7 or an 8. Every hole ends with a 5 or a 0. Didn't know if you knew that or not. But,
no, I did not.
Yeah, so take a look at that. It's something that Augusta has done. Anyway, par 72, it's a fairly long golf course at 7,400 yards. Can stretch out longer than that if they want it to. The first hole, which is a shame that they're not starting off one, and they're doing the split tee, which I'm not a huge fan of. But typically, number one is one of the hardest holes in the course, usually the second hardest hole in the course, and guys can make 5, 6 there pretty easily. But then, you know, they get a great chance at a bounce back on two with the par five. I think those that start on the back nine to start their round are off to a much more difficult start. You know, 10's not an easy hole, and then 11's the hardest hole in the golf course. And if you get off to a bogey start or a bogey double start, and you got to stare the 12th hole and your third hole of the day, it can add up fast. But front nine is definitely, in my opinion, a little bit more difficult. As you get to the back nine, you get towards 12, 13, 14, 15, very, very scoreable. All the par fives here are reachable by pretty much all the players, unless you're Zach Johnson and you decide to lay up on all of them and make it a wedge fest, which is great. It's one of the beauties of Augusta, right? Anyone can win here. You've seen Bombers, you've seen ZJ, you've seen Willett. It's pretty remarkable how this course just really rewards the best player that week. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And there's not a whole lot of point in me spending much time on the course history.
Yeah.
Anyone that is into golf for any amount of time knows about Augusta. It's one of the most revered courses in the world, and one of the most spectacular out there. Par threes, great collection of par threes to go along with the great collection of par fives.
Yeah, it's literally probably the perfect golf course in reality, just the way it's built. Like you said, any course that you can make that any talent or not talent level, but any kind of skill set can contend is a good golf course. Like that makes it fun. It's not like we're just going somewhere and going, okay, well, you can, like Brooks used to say at the open at Bethpage, well, I can eliminate at least half the field right now. Like it's just not even having a chance. No, anybody can show up here. So that's pretty cool about this. And you hear these guys talk about it because they love it so much, but you know, Matt Kelly, the caddy for Leishman, was on the No Laying Up podcast, and the way they talk about this course, they all know this course like the back of their hand. It's like they know a lot of golf courses. I'm not going to say they don't, but when they talk about Augusta, it's pretty wild. Like they're just like to the T. And the fact these players know it so well, yet the score is always kind of about the same because they find a way to make it just difficult enough to make it work.
It's very true. They know what they're doing. The tournament committee's got it dialed in every year.
Yeah, speaking of that, they also know how to make a goddamn app because this is the one week of the year where we have an app we get to love and use, which PGA Tour one of these days. But let's talk weather real quick, and it's going to change probably even by the time you listen to this on Wednesday. But the big thing we're looking at, and correct me if I'm wrong, I know Kevin's been looking at it a lot and talking about it in the Slack chat, is Wednesday night, good chance it comes down pretty heavy. That looks like we got a good amount there, so should be soft in the morning on Thursday. But often on Thursday, the wind shouldn't be too bad, but there's chances of thunderstorms throughout the entire day. Looks like a little more as the day goes on, it gets worse, and then back into the evening. And then Friday, often on showers, but looks like a much more playable day. And going into the weekend, pretty similar. But I didn't see the winds getting too crazy, and the temperatures are still going to be pretty good, like in the 70s for the most part, cooling down over the weekend, but still not too bad. It's just the heavy rain Wednesday night, good chances Thursday, a little bit of chances on Friday, it seems like, off and on. That's what I'm seeing. They have the sub-air. You're going to hear that a million times, but the greens will be fine. Those aren't going to be an issue. Rest of the course could be interesting. Did you hear anything different than that, either of you two?
They are expecting about an inch of rain tomorrow here in Charlotte. We're about 3 hours or so from Augusta. We got the same weather forecast they do. About an inch of rain tomorrow, a fair amount of rain overnight Wednesday into Thursday, and it looks like the players that start early Thursday may have the brunt of the rain for the day. It seems like afternoon, it seems to die off some and not be quite as rough. Hopefully it doesn't rain so much where they don't get a chance to play Thursday morning. But it'll be very interesting for sure.
Yeah, the it's raining there right now. Like I was watching Golf Central at the Masters or whatever, and it was raining there. So it tomorrow is going to play more similar to what it'll be like Thursday, Friday than it has been this past Monday, Tuesday. So at least they'll get to see a little bit of wetter conditions tomorrow. Wind, I don't see it being an issue at all. Wouldn't worry about it. I don't know if there'll be a tee bias draw. The issue that they're going to have here is just daylight, and that's why, you know, we're going split tees, and then also too, it's going to be over by 3 o'clock on
Sunday.
I think part of that is football, but also in case of a playoff, you know, you got to have a little bit of a buffer zone there too. So it's going to be different, especially with no fans. I mean, I don't think I'm gonna like it as much, but you know, either way, we're at Augusta National Golf Course, so it's going to be a fun viewing experience.
Well, we've said it from the beginning that we thought no fans would be weird, and I think we've enjoyed golf.
Yeah, so, no, 100%.
I know what you're saying about Augusta.
It's just different. You know what I mean? It's just different in Augusta, you know?
Well, the guys have already said in their practice rounds, just seeing no one around, there's so much of the course they never noticed before that it just changes everything.
Well, Xander said it was lonely today, too, out there. Because, you know, even on practice rounds, every single day practice round, that place is jam-packed full of people.
It's my favorite time to go. I typically, when I go on Tuesdays. Tuesdays are the best. You get all the players.
Right. You get all the players. You get to walk around, and you're not missing anything because nothing matters, but you can go sit and watch 16 and watch the guys skip it across and see John Rahm fucking make a hole in one, shit like that. You know, I mean, it's a magical place. We talk about this all the time, Kevin, man. It's just crazy how fucking awesome it is.
And one day I'll win the draw. One day, just it'll happen one day. But I said that the one thing I will add to that, not being at Augusta, I prefer practice rounds anytime. Like, the players are more accessible. You can see all the stuff. Like, they literally will joke with you. They'll sit there and talk to you like it's no big deal. And it's kind of, and you can listen to them talk, and you know when they have games going on and stuff, and that's fun. So there's a lot of things that kind of bring it back to going, oh, they're just like us going out golfing. They're a lot better, of course, but they're just like us going out there golfing. So it'll be cool to see. But do you think this actually finishes on Sunday?
I think a lot of it will depend on Thursday, but yes.
Yeah, see, I think it's gonna be tight. I know they want to. They don't want to go into Monday, but I'd rather not finish. I'm cool with the Monday finish too. I'd rather them not rush it, but man,
I'm supposed to play in a pro-am Monday, Tuesday, and if we get Augusta on Monday, I'm withdrawing.
Yeah, final round Monday at Augusta, I'm out. But all right, with all that being said, potential weather, the course, we know the course. Jesse, what kind of key stats are you looking at this week?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a model in Fantasy Labs for a few years now. I tinkered with this year since they brought in strokes gained. But looking at a lot of just, you know, off the tee, I think is going to be important this week. Obviously, hitting the green. And then just so much course history, man. You know, the last time a first-timer won here was 1979, Fuzzy Zeller. And that tells you right there, you know, it's the course history matters, I think, here more than any other golf course in the world. Especially on this kind of stage. So I weight that heavily on my model as well.
What about you, Kevin?
Yeah, obviously, you guys know me well. I'm a course history truther, and there's no better place in the world to take course history into consideration than Augusta. Obviously, guys who are hitting a lot of greens, you don't have to be the best putter in the world to win here, but you gotta hit greens. Scrambling is not easy around Augusta. I think it's part of the reason why JT hadn't had the best track record here. Missing greens, you got to get those babies up and down.
No, makes a lot of sense. And yeah, that's been probably the hardest part about the last month to 2 months, a lot of new golf courses or a lot of guys that don't play these golf courses. So course history has been very tricky because I know Jesse and I talk about it a lot, even on the show and off. Before COVID hit, we were on a roll. Like, it was normal courses. Things were never easy, but we could figure things. Like, I could get a cash lineup through 6-6 most weeks. It was just what you did. It's been weird. It's been a weird couple months here trying to figure
out. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, last week. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say par five scoring is a huge deal at Augusta, right?
You'd be
a fool not to put par five scoring into any model you make on any site without thinking about Augusta on par five scoring. Look at Zach Johnson, right?
For sure. I've got that weighted. Look at last week, you know, the brand new golf course. I didn't expect it to play that difficult. I don't know if it's anybody hard. Else did either because it was a fucking municipal golf course, you know?
It played really hard.
And so it's definitely a breath of fresh air to be at a golf course that we know. The only kind of factor is obviously we've never seen it in November. So,
yeah, but it's still the same grass you'd see in the spring. My only concern about Augusta in the fall would have been cooler, drier temps. Mm-hmm. But obviously they got plenty of heat, you know, mid 70s and might crack 80 one day. So as long as it's not too wet, they're going to fly the ball as far as they want.
And it's been warm the last few weeks anyways. You know, obviously I'm about 600 miles north, but it's been warm enough up here that I was wearing shorts this past week and playing golf here. So
yeah.
Nice. That's good to hear. Jesse didn't get the early, it was raining. I couldn't play golf report. We haven't got to the point of the year yet.
I forgot to mention, I got my window open right now.
And mine's closed. It's like 40 degrees.
It's November. We're almost Thanksgiving, man.
Yeah. Well,
you say it's 40 degrees there?
I woke up. It was 31 this morning with ice.
Oh, God. That means it's coming this way.
It's coming your way, boys and girls. But, yep. But, all right, real quick, Fanshare Sports. Go fansharesports.com. Promo code ALWAYSPRESS gets you 20% off the package of your choice there. And a couple things. Obviously, course history is going to reign supreme, so this all might be secondary. But current form does have an impact. Guys coming in playing well, DraftKings-wise, last 10 events. Your usual suspects, DJ, JT, Rom, Xander, Wolf's there, and then Bryson. That's no surprise to anybody. But we start looking around some more top 10 on bent grass greens. We got Cantlay's leading the way, Finau, JT, Reed, and DJ. That's an interesting couple in there with Reed and Finau standing out in Cantlay. But and then the last one, par 72, is over 7,400 yards. JT, Rory, Finau, Rom, and then Sungjae cracks the code. which made things pretty interesting. But he's also a big birdie guy, par five scorer type guy. So that could make a little bit of a sense when you start breaking that all down. Last thing before the DraftKings. Kevin, I know you talked about it a lot. I know Jesse talks about it too. So 92-man field now, I believe, with no Sergio. We know there's a bunch of old winners like Freddie Couples and VJ and all these guys. You can almost cancel most of them off your list. And then we have a lot of first-timers, and I know you've had an approach on first-timers. So how are you, before we even get into the picks, how are you narrowing down the field?
So for me, I'm going to do this a couple different ways. Obviously, you guys know from the Slack chat that I'll do some of the core cascading stuff. I'll also, for Augusta, I'll enter the 150 max. So there's a lot fewer guys that I'll cancel out in the 150 max. But when it comes to playing, you know, single entry or three entry max, then you can go ahead and X out nearly half the field. And so it really depends on contest selection. And I think anyone in the Slack can ask us any questions about that. But as I get into it deeper, my player pool will be extremely smaller for single entry and three entry max.
I like it. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, it's similar. I mean, you know, I usually narrow my pool down to, like, you know, roughly in a normal field, roughly 25 guys. I'm around 20 right now that we'll talk about tonight. So, but there's obviously plenty of those 70 that I'm not talking about that are definitely playable. I just am not on them for whatever reason.
No. When you play the 150 max, you know, there's going to be lineups that have plenty of VJ and Freddie. And when you think about it, those guys only have to beat, you know, 40 players to make the cut, 44 players to make the cut. And so it makes it really difficult to cut some of those guys out.
No, makes a lot of sense, especially, yeah. And the 150 max for sure makes it much more difficult, because we've seen Freddie sneak in there come a Sunday, and then you never know. Top 20 out of a guy like Freddie's all you need. That's amazing. That's, like, yeah, going to help you a ton. So
now the only issue also in the 150 max is you're pretty much going to have the optimal lineup,
yeah,
to take that thing down.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's get into the DK scoring. It's a doozy. We got five guys up top in the 10K and above range. Bryson leading the field at 11-2, which, hey, if he's shooting 5-under every day, that's too cheap. Justin Thomas at 10-7, Rahm at 10-5, Rory 10-2, DJ at 10,000. Jesse, take us away on the 10K range.
Yeah, I'll start with Bryson. I mean, he's getting plenty of buzz this week. I wanted to look back at the last couple of years and just see where the highest priced golfer at the Masters ended up ownership-wise. So last year it was Rory at 11.6. He was 21% owned basically across the board in your big contests, and he was the highest owned above 10,000. The year before that was DJ. He was 11.4. He was the lowest owned of anybody above 10,000. Tiger was the highest at 23%. And in 2000, so that would be 19, 18, 17, Spieth was 11.5. He was 30% pretty much across the board, second highest owned behind Rory, who was 40% owned. So, I mean, that tells me that people are not afraid, especially with the soft pricing that is typically associated with a major on DraftKings, that people aren't afraid to play Bryson. With that said, I think he's fine. I don't know that I'll play him. And reason being for me is it comes down, and he can get hot with the putter, don't get me wrong, but if he's missing greens and having to chip around a little bit, scares me more than somebody like Rahm or DJ. And then add that in the fact that I think he will be over 20% owned. I don't have any doubt about that, especially in the Millie Maker. If that's what you're playing, he's going to be above 20%. So that scares me a bit. I think Justin Thomas will be lower owned. John Rahm will be decently popular. I'm not on Rory. DJ is the other guy, obviously, that I want to play here. I mean, first of all, he's got a good course history. If you take out the year that he, quote unquote, fell down the step, he didn't start, so didn't even have a, you know, his last three appearances here, second, 10th, fourth. If you go back to 2015, he's got a sixth. He did miss the cut in 2014, but long time ago, not worried about that. And then who's playing better? Second, sixth, third, second, first, second in his last six starts on tour. I mean, you know, he's either finishing second or inside the top six. It's just insane to me that somebody would be playing that well. I do think he will be popular, but I would much rather save the 1,200, go to DJ, eat that chalk, than play Bryson. I have a lot more worry about Bryson. And so that's where I'm at. I think Bryson in 150 max, you got to play him. I think same thing with Rahm. I think all these guys, you got to get them in there somehow, some way, because there's a chance that any one of these guys can win. It's the same week in and week out above 10K, typically on DraftKings, unless we're on some island. this is Augusta, Georgia, though, and all these guys have a shot to win. The main guy I'll be playing up here would be Dustin Johnson.
What about you, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm the same. Of those five guys, DJ is far and away my number one, with Rahm being my number two. And I think I'd lean Rory over JT just based on course history and his form. Obviously, isn't as good as JT, but give me a guy who can get right at Augusta, and hard enough to believe Bryson would be 5 out of 5 for me. I think I'd prefer JT over Bryson. My biggest issue with Bryson, and I'm not sure how many folks have heard about it, but I know some folks have heard about it, but green reading books aren't available at Augusta. Mm-hmm. And that plays a big part in Bryson mastering so many of these greens that he's putted so well the last few months. Is he's got that. He doesn't have that at Augusta. And, you know, he hadn't been all that great. Tied 29th, tied 38th, and tied 21st since 2016. And at a price tag where he is, you've got to have him win. Like Jesse says, I'd rather have DJ save that $1,200 and go from a guy like Paul Casey at 8,000 to be able to go up to Patty Reed at 9,200.
Mm-hmm. No, so it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. And obviously, like you said, you play the 150 max, you're going to have 10-15% of Bryson. You don't want to put all your eggs in DJ's basket and not have him win. But I would go DJ number one out of these five.
Well, we're all on the same page on this one, because I think DJ's 10,000 is just way too cheap. If anything,
yeah, it is.
He should be slightly behind Bryson. If anything,
I agree.
That's the crazy part. Like you mentioned how well he's playing. No one else in the world is playing that well. His history here is ridiculous. Everything you want to mention is phenomenal with Dustin Johnson. So I'm a big fan of DJ. My two guys here are DJ and Rahm. You know, a ninth and a fourth the last 2 years for Rahm here. A second, a tenth, a fourth, a sixth the last 4 times for DJ. Like, these guys are just both playing great. They've been, you know, taking turns at number one in the world for the most part this year. I like both these guys a ton. I'd probably go JT third and Rory fourth, but I understand Kevin's the course history part there. Rory just, I don't know, he just doesn't – ever since he had the little one, he's just kind of off right now. But, hey, anybody can figure out any given time. It's the beauty of golf. And Bryson, it's as simple as you guys both mentioned. It's cool that he can bomb it. I'm looking forward to him doing things no one's ever done. But like you said, his short game's bad. Or not as good as these guys, and his putting can be drastic at times. So if you're paying 11-2, you need him to be the nuts, and that's asking a lot at times. So give me DJ and give me Rahm up here, and I guess we're all going to be on the Bryson fade train. We might all be drinking a lot on Sunday, so we'll see what happens.
And there's no doubt he could win by
six,
seven, eight shots and make it not very fun to watch on Sunday. Thank goodness there'll be football.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is I want people to understand we're not saying he can't win, just price-wise doesn't make any sense right now. Xander, 9K range. Xander Schauffele, $9,800. Always gets overlooked in the majors. Brooks, 97. Cantlay, 96. Morikawa, 95. Hatton, 94. Webb, 93. Reed, 92. Woods, 91. Bubba, 9,000. Kevin, where are you going in the 9K range?
Obviously, I love Bubba's course history, and I love his recent form. He's been damn good lately. But I think Brooks' finish last week kind of shows you a lot about his game, and coming off the injury, you could build a really, really good start with DJ and Brooks love that team. But the three guys I'll play the most in here will most likely be Koepka, Bubba, and X, with Cantlay being a close fourth.
Yeah, I'm with you there. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, I think Xander's he's playable at 9,800. He will get overlooked with DJ right above him, Brooks right below him. I don't know that many people will go to Brooks. It'll be interesting to see. I love Brooks Koepka this week. I mean, you know, obviously the finishes are there. He's gotten better every single year he's played Augusta. He finished second last year. The only way to get better is to win. I like him in single entry, especially. I think people will start in the 10K range and grab DJ or Rahm or Bryson and then skip over this 9K range because it's not going to be super comfortable to make a lineup with two guys from, you know, each one from each of those ranges. Anyways, Brooks, very playable. And then Bubba, yeah, at 9,000. I mean, he's playing well, you know, obviously winner here in the past, coming off two straight top tens. Both of those were no-cut events, but still strong fields, fourth and seventh in two consecutive events. And then, you know, he's since the Volvic debacle has finally, I think, started to turn a corner. And I actually heard something the other day where his caddy kind of got in his head and said, hey, man, listen, I don't know why you're trying to play it safe. Just hit golf shots. You know, you can do this. And I think it really changed for Bubba. Can he putt? We'll see. But, you know, $9,000, I'd much rather have him over Woods. Are you going to Patrick this week, Bubba?
That's what I was just looking at FanShare Sports for, because I was figuring he'd be low-owned because neither of you guys mentioned him. And most people, we talk about it week in, week out, don't play Patrick Reed because, A, they don't like the guy, or B, there's someone else close by. Like Webb's, you know, Mr. Comfortable. We play Webb. A lot of people want to play Bubba this week. Some people still play Tiger. Like, we love Tiger, but I haven't owned him since he's come back to golf. I just haven't. Like, I watch him. If he does great, great. But Reed's ownership's actually about 16% projected right now, which is interesting. Still, like, fourth or fifth best in the 9K range, but he's not as low as I thought. I have no problem using him. Like, if I'm doing the core cascade again this week, I'll have a – he won't be in my core, but he'll be in a couple lineups for sure. Because that course history, he plays these type of events. He shows up in the bigger fields, actually, more so than the smaller fields. So I don't mind Reed at all at 92. He's not a core play for me, but he will be sprinkled throughout the lineups for sure. Guys, I do like more in this range. I like Bubba a lot, but he's coming in pretty popular right now. So that's going to be interesting. Brooks, I love a ton. Like, listeners of the show know how much I love Brooks Koepka. I love his energy, is the way I'll put it, his ego. And he just doesn't care. And the fact that he was asked a question today, they put on a tee for him to slam Bryson DeChambeau and his 48-inch driver, and he played the most politically correct, nice answer on the face of the planet, basically tells you he's focused on other things right now, which is good to see. So
it's a major. That's a major. Yep. It's all he plays for.
That's what I'm exactly saying. Right. So he's focused. Like, that answer, because every other tournament, they've asked him questions like, and he has bombs all over him. And he literally gave the most PC answer on the planet and walked away, and that reporter probably was so ticked off because his whole article, he just needed a headline to put on it, and now he didn't get it. So Brooks, I like him a lot at 97. Xander's not bad, and I like Cantlay. I think goes way overlooked in this range, and I think that's a sneaky GPP-type play coming off a W a couple weeks ago, so he's not too shabby himself. 8K range. We got Adam Scott at 89, Finau 88, always a little underpriced in major events. Hideki at 87, Fleetwood 86, Wolf, Day, Spieth, Fowler, and Casey round up the 8K range. Jesse, where are you going here?
Yeah, so obviously we typically record on Monday nights, right? And me and you, Bubba, and shit, you know, I guess literally hit the fan in your house. I don't know exactly what happened, but either way, life happened to us, and we couldn't record yesterday. And I think that's kind of a bit of a blessing in disguise because obviously most content, especially for the Masters, is going to come out early. It's going to be out Monday. It's going to be out Sunday, even sometimes Saturday. Even last week, people were putting shit out. So apparently nobody's on Adam Scott, just judging by the stuff that I look at. And if nobody's on Adam Scott, I absolutely love Adam Scott this week. Obviously, the guy's not playing a whole lot of golf. He did play last week. He finished 32nd. He played the U.S. Open, finished 38th. Nothing great, but this is Augusta. 18th last year, 32nd, 9th, 42nd, 38th. Finishes aren't that great recently, but he's won here before, 8,900. I think he's totally fine. He will, you know, go over. He'll be overlooked because of Bubba. He's sandwiched between Bubba and Tony Finau. Finau's going to be popular. I like Finau. I mean, you know, the guy played this golf course and finished in the top 10 with a broke ankle, finished fifth last year, and then has had some solid finishes recently. Kills the par fives, exactly what you need. Believe it or not, I like Hideki, 8,700. Traditionally has been successful at Augusta. When I say successful, he's had some solid finishes. Last year, not great, 32nd, but 19th, 11th, 7th, 5th in his previous starts before that. He's coming off a solid second-place finish last week, 8,700, like him. Jason Day, 8,400, another guy who has played well around Augusta National Golf Course, 5th last year, 20th, 22nd, 10th, as another top five or a third-place finish back in 2013. He's coming off a seventh-place finish at Houston. I mean, I hope he's healthy. I would assume he is. He did WD couple of events ago for whatever reason, and like in the last round, I don't really know what happened.
He played at a couple holes and then bounced.
Yeah, it was an odd WD. So it would be interesting to see how many people are off him. And then, man, I made a lineup a minute ago, and I had 8,200 left exactly, and I don't know how I can't not click Jordan Spieth this week. I get it. The guy's game is not good, but you know, it wasn't that great last year. He finished 22nd, wasn't terrific in 2018, finished third. And then obviously he's won here and finished second twice. Just something about, you know, this tournament and this golf course that's different for Jordan Spieth. And, I don't know how much I'll play him. I will tell you, if you've been 150 lineups, you got to get him in somewhere. If you're in a three max, I'd maybe put him on one. If you're running 10 lineups, I'd put him on two or three. But I think 8,200 Jordan Spieth, I think I have to play him.
So quick math there. Jesse says play him about 30% of your lineups.
I don't know. Maybe that's a bit high.
Bye.
Yeah, Kevin, what do you got in this 8K range?
I think it's a very, very interesting range, right? I think we built some lineups in the Slack the other day and sent them out, and they're really cool looking. And then the more and more you look at this range, the only thing you don't see are closers, right?
Yep.
You know, obviously Wolf's a debutant, so you don't really value his chances of winning all that great. Finau can't win. Matsuyama hasn't won much. Fleetwood can't play on Sunday. Day, maybe. Spieth, he's been pretty damn good. Ricky has four top 12s in the last 5 years, but what has he won other than Wells Fargo, a place near and dear to my heart, and Paul Casey. So you got some guys who are really damn good, and you can build some cool looking lineups, but who in that range is going to win for you? So maybe Adam Scott, and Jesse's right, that could be your guy, but I will have plenty of lineups with Finau, Matsuyama, Day and Spieth, and obviously playing 150 lineups, I'll have a fair amount of Ricky as well. But if I had to rank it, my top three in no particular order would be Adam Scott, Matsuyama, and Day.
Yeah, this is a fun range because all quality guys were jinx myself. Now you think most of these guys make the cut, most of them. Like this is a good range, quality guys, but not closing is a very good point. Matt Wolf is one of the most popular guys in this range right now, according to Fanshare, which is. Enjoy people. There's our leverage right there on the field. So have fun with that, even though I like Matty Wolf, but I don't see him doing it the first time out. But it's an interesting range if you want to take some chalk in the 9 and 10K range. Adam Scott's below 8% right now. But these are all just projections, obviously. But Jason Day's below 10%. You have Spieth around 8%. Ricky below 8%. Casey's a little over 8%. Like, you have definite leverage right there in the field. If you just make one guy from your lineup from here or even two guys, you can make things interesting. Finau is very popular, and so is Hideki, and I like them both. I'm with both you guys on this. Finau shows up in majors. He hasn't finished, but he's been like a top five machine in majors, which is pretty impressive, and at $8,800 goes a long, long ways. Plus, he's always a better DraftKings scorer than he is finisher because of his par five scoring. Like, he's the – if people don't know golf well enough, they get tilted with Finau because he'll go bogey, bogey, but then he'll go birdie, birdie, eagle, birdie, or something like that. And by the end of the day, he makes it to the weekend, and things are fine. I love Hideki. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, guys with the best approach, tee to green approach, usually finish in the top three at this event or whatever. Well, Hideki's been number four over the last like 4 or 5 years in this field. Like, he loves Augusta. He sees it well off the tee, gets to the greens. Now the question with Hideki is, can he putt? That's always the big question. So I like Hideki a lot. I love Jason Day, especially if he's going to be low owned like that. I'll take my gamble there. And then I'm on Ricky. I'm listening to him in some interviews this week. This is the first time in his career he took the week before off. He's taken 2 weeks off to get his mind right, to keep working on his swing with his coach. He went and flew to his coach. I think he's in Carolina or Georgia or Carolina. And he went and met with him for the last 2 days before he went to Augusta on Sunday. He's taken a whole different mindset to the tournament, which I think could be interesting. So he has been kind of a mess this year, but his past history here, $8,100 for a low-owned Ricky Fowler. I'll take my chances there.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. 7,500 and above. You got Usti, Scheffler, Rose, Fitz, M, Mickelson, and that rounds out 75. Wow, it's a small range this week. I love it. Kevin, who do you like from 7,500 to 7,900?
Fitzpatrick, Rose, and Usti, my top three. and probably that order. I know Usti's getting some love, so I prefer to take a Rose who, in interviews, sounds like his game's turned around. He's a little bit more optimistic than he was. Played okay at Zozo, and has some great course history here. Other than missing the cut last year, he had T12, second, T10, and T2 the 4 years prior to that. So knows the place well, gets around it just fine. So I do like me some Rose. I like some Fitzpatrick, even though the place might be pretty long for him. But that's where I'll be. I won't play much Phil. Obviously, in the 150, I'll have some shares, but he won't crack any of the three max lineups.
If you had to play one, Phil or Spieth, which one do you play?
I go Spieth.
Yeah, I figured as much. And it's good, Jesse, to have another Fitzpatrick fan on the show. So that's always fun. I appreciate you coming in, Kevin. Really appreciate that. Jesse, who do you like in the 75 to 79 range?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the same guys. I'm interested. I mean, like a lot of the guys who I see that have good leverage scores on Fantasy Labs, which basically means that their ceiling and their projected ownership is off, right? So Sungjae is one of those guys. Obviously, he's never been here before. So I don't know that I'll play him, but I think he's a good GPP dart, like in the 150 maxes. I think he'd be interesting. Scheffler's in the similar boat there as far as first time here. Don't love their chances, but I can see both of those guys making the cut and then finishing top 20 and, you know, helping your lineup out quite a bit. I wouldn't even put Phil on a 150 max lineup.
Well, come on.
No,
he's only got to beat 40 people to make the cut.
I don't know if he can. I mean, he's now in the longer sing range, in my opinion, in this field. I mean, like,
yeah, but he's won two straight senior tour events, champions tour events. I mean, his recent form on the champions tour is top notch.
Yeah, and he missed the cut at the Houston Open.
It doesn't matter.
72nd at the Zozo. I think there's 77 guys in there, so he did beat one there. US Open miscut.
He was flirting with a 59. Remember that? Was it Friday or Saturday at Zozo?
Yeah,
he came out smoking one day. Yeah. And then he goes, and then on Sunday, him and Tiger paired together. Neither one of them broke par.
Nope.
Yeah, that's I mean, he shot 78 on Sunday at the Zozo. He shot 67 in round three. He shot 74 round two. I don't know which day you're talking about there. You're just flirting with a 50, maybe 59 through what, 15, 14, 15 holes. I don't know. I'm confused.
But yeah, with Phil, it was one thing. I think it was the PGA or the US Open. He was priced at like 67. Someone's like, okay, you can make an argument at 67. At 75, it's like, yeah, I don't know. About
right.
That.
Right.
That's a little tricky. For me, I love Fitz at 76. He's coming in sub 10% ownership. He's always low owned, and one reason why I always love him, I'm a big fan of Fitzpatrick in this range. Good tee to green guy. If that putter gets going, stand back. Like, it's a big boy week for Fitzpatrick, and he's played very well here. Very well here. So I'll take my chances there. And then Usti I like quite a bit as well. So those are the two guys I have above 7K. Like, Rose, he's just I apologize for the dad joke. He's a thorn in my side because I can never get him right, but he's played great here, minus the missed cut last year. Coming in, and like you said, I've heard some of the interviews too. He seems like he's figuring it out. But if anybody could win from the 7K range, it's probably Justin Rose. But it's just I can't stomach it, which is probably a bad thing to say.
I'll tell you what, I mean, I think he'll be popular too. I mean, if you were fading him in something, I could understand that. But that price is just fucking stupid, in my opinion. I know he missed the cut last year. His game hasn't been on point this year, but still, I don't know. I think he should be in the 8K range.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, who would you rather have, Paul Casey or Justin Rose right now?
I was just going to say, would you rather have Rose or Fowler?
Yeah, I mean, Justin Rose, both of them.
Yeah, it's tough. I'd probably play Fowler, but that's just me. I don't ever play Fowler, so this could be a very ugly weekend.
So while you're talking about what ifs, which debutante would you rather have to make the cut for you? Morikawa, Wolf, Scheffler, or M? Or answer for that matter.
Morikawa. And he's coming in like almost 5% ownership right now.
Yeah, his ownership's going to be super low. I'd almost go M there.
I just like Morikawa's iron game. His tee to green game, I'll take my chances there.
I'm with you.
That's it. But then again, you got answered. I'm going to talk about it in a bit. One of the better tee to green players on tour. Yeah. So that's a good question. That leads us into the 7K to $7,400 range. Yeah, Abraham answer. Lowry, Cam Smith, Woodland, Horschel, Kuchar, Westwood, Champ, Kiz, Todd, Kokrak, Poulter, and Willett. Jesse, what are you seeing here?
Let's start with Kuchar, 7,200. 12th last year here, 28th, 4th, never missed a cut since 2013, which when you say, you know, hasn't missed a cut, you know, it's all relative because obviously the cut here has included a lot of people in years past. But either way, you know, hasn't finished worse than 28th in the last 4 years and, you know, finished 4th in 2017. Game, you know, it's not – his current form is not great. He's you know, finished in the 50s at the Zozo and CJ, which are no code events. Did make the cut the Shriners, finished 34th, missed the cut the U.S. Open. It's not great, but, you know, with that course history at 7,200, definitely worth taking a chance on him. Billy Horschel's interesting to me. His course history's pretty whack. 56th missed cut, 17th missed cut, 37th. Has made a bunch of cuts in a row on tour, going back to the Northern Trust when he missed his last cut. He's going to be low-owned. If you want a dart, that'd be him. Let's talk about Lee Westwood for a second. I never played Lee Westwood in anything, ever, right? Until last week. Guy hadn't missed a cut since the restart on worldwide events. You know, even the 13th place at the U.S. Open comes out and fires 77 on Thursday to just absolutely tank it and have zero chance to make the cut at the Houston Open because I played him. 7,200, I mean, he's getting a lot of buzz, but he hasn't played here since 2017. Also hasn't missed a cut here since 2011. Has a bunch of top 10s, a second, a third in there. The guy's got the good course history. And it's coming off a missed cut. I don't know how popular he'll be. And then last but not least for me, Ian Poulter at 7,000. I think this price is too low. Guy just makes cuts for a living. 12th at the CJ Cup, played a couple of European Tour events, finished top 10, and finished 12th here last year. Finished 6th back in 2015. He's got it in him to, I believe, you know, sneak inside the top 10 or something along those lines. So Poulter also in play for me here.
Poulter is always a good play. Kevin, what do you like in this range?
Yeah, if you wanted to save a bunch of money and take two Bulldogs right out of the gate, you could take Kiz and Poulter yes. And start some pretty good lineups there and feel like you got two guys who are going to try really hard for you and good chance of making the cut. I like some Cam Smith this week. I'm big on Cam. I think he's a great play and someone that'll be on heavily. We'll be in a fair amount of my single entry contests. Looking at it early on as I start my builds later tonight. Kuchar, great play. Georgia Tech boy, Sea Island guy, so he's not far from Augusta. Hard to imagine that place on Saturday or Sunday afternoon with that big goofy grin not walking down the fairway. So you gotta figure Kuchar will be hanging around there this weekend. Westwood, you kind of wonder what the motivation is for some of these guys when they play an event the week before a major, especially Augusta. Where he's played so well overseas the last few weeks, last few months, really. He's been great. He's won over there. And it's been cool to see. So I wouldn't take too much of that other than the fact that you probably just didn't like your lineup, Jesse.
I mean, that's what you got to figure. He knew that my week was riding on him, right? And so yeah. He's like, you know, this is just what we do to Jesse. So
yeah. And I would play Westwood probably 95% of the time over Phil this week, even though Phil's so hot right now.
I'd say 100%.
Yes, easily. I'd be 100% on board with you on that one.
But here, I'm going to reside mostly with Cam Smith, a little bit of Kuchar, some Westwood. But I'll have most of my lines with Poulter and Kiz in this area.
Yeah, I like it. I love Poulter and Kiz this week. I mentioned Matsuyama, like fourth overall in the last 4 to 5 years in approach. Poulter's third at the Masters. So he might not be able. Yep. Perfect iron player. So I love Poulter. I love Kiz. If you want to be a dumb narrative street, they said, you know, the number one bib always goes to the defending champion. So, you know, Woods has the number one bib. The number two bib goes to Kisner. So maybe he's a little thirsty to get there. I don't know. Just going to say he got there early and maybe he's focused, but he's a short hitter that can play a course like this pretty well. So he's Georgia boy. So I like that quite a bit. Westwood's interesting. The other two guys, though, Answer, I'm intrigued by. I'll have a few sprinkles of him because of his iron play. But the one that if you want to go completely against the course history narrative, missed cut, didn't play, missed cut, 39th, missed cut, but finished 11th last week, 28th, 13th in his previous two events. And if it gets ugly weather-wise, Shane Lowry has my attention in a big, big way. And it's the only guy so far outside of course history that – the ugly course history here. But Lowry at $7,300, I think, is a super low-owned GPP play that really could be interesting this week. So I might have a few sprinkles of him that I'll be sweating or very happy about. We'll see how that turns out. All right, 6K range. Kevin, what do you like for value?
All right, so I got some value for you, hopefully. All right, in this area, I really do like Siwoo. I was talking about some in the Slack. Tied 21st, tied 24th, and missed cut in 2017. But in my model over the last 24 rounds, he's 12th. And I think he's got a chance to play well this weekend. Zach Johnson, obviously, if you're trying to save some money. Adam Hadwin, who I think, Bubba, you like to play Hadwin quite a bit, don't you?
Yep, I like Hadwin quite a bit. $6,500 bucks is pretty nice.
Yeah, and in his last two times playing around here in 2018 and 2016 or 2017, tied 24th and tied 36th. Someone I haven't heard many people talk about yet is Bern. I like Bern Wiesberger this week.
Yep.
He's had good course history here. And I think most people, when they drop down that area, will probably try and gravitate towards names they know more. And I don't think Bern gets enough attention over here in America, so I'll be on Bern some.
Nice. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, I like Bern as well. He's not missed a cut, you know.
Four for four.
And coming off a solid finish over in the Italian Open, 16th over there. ZJ, I think, is playable at 68. You know, it just depends on kind of can you stomach a bunch of damn pars with ZJ. I think Siwoo is interesting at 68. You know, 21st here last year, 24th the year before. We're doing the whole 6K range here, right?
Yep, do it all.
Seabass Munoz at 6,700, first time here, but I just love his game. He can attack par fives, and he's the last couple times he's played, he's stared down a lot of a good competition. Finished 14th Zozo, 9th CJ Cup. You know, if you look at the BMW Championship, he finished 8th. So you know he's playing good golf, and Franny is interesting at 6,700, right? So. Hasn't played at all hardly this year. Missed the cut at the Shriners. Then comes back last week. It's Houston Open. Finishes 15th. Solid little 66 on Sunday. Finished 5th here last year, which still just seems odd to say that. But puts a ball in the water on 15, like I talked about earlier, and basically fucks up his chances of chasing down Tiger. 6,700. I'm willing to take a chance with him. I think he is borderline single entry. GPP, you know, playable at that price. It's just the one start. I know he's a little bit sketch with his form, but if he can figure it out, obviously he played on a pretty tough golf course last week, finished 15th. I got a feeling about Franny. Lonto at 6,600, another guy who in big events, he shows up. He's below 7K, which is where we like him. Obviously last week he was above 8K and finished 58th. Not good for Lonto. So below 7K, liking him at 6,600. And then one guy, if you're way down here, 6,300, Justin Harding.
Boom.
Finished 12th here last year. Played the Houston Open last week, 38th. 30th at the Scottish Open. A couple missed cuts before that. Yeah, 6,300, a guy who finished 12th there last year. I think he's worth a shot. And, you know, like you said, like you're talking about your 150 maxes, your big GPPs. I think he's worth – you know, getting a couple few percentage points on, you know, 5, maybe 6%.
Yeah, I like Harding quite a bit as a super punt. If you're going like 6 of 6, or if you're going like a Stars and Scrubs type deal, no problem with that at all. He was on my list. You guys named most of them. Like, I like Wiesberger. I'm with you there, Kev. I don't think anybody's going to own him at all. But, you know, 4 for 4 made cuts here. I'll take that all day long. So I think a lot more people will go to ZJ at 68. So you can get burned pretty cheap. EVR is 69 is not bad either. So that's interesting, too. I'm always a Siwoo fan, so I can definitely jump on that train. Corey Connors at 66, 46th there last year, 24th last week, and 8th, 61st the previous two. He's a guy, if he can ever figure out a putt, he's going to be money. The iron play and the approach game is phenomenal. So I think Connor at 66 is another nice one. I love Lonto. The fact that he's playing with VJ, like his mentor, and he gets to play his practice rounds and his opening two rounds with them. That is definitely one way to calm the nerves of Augusta. So I'm a fan of that at 66. And then Hadwin and Harding, two other guys I like quite a bit. So that's where I'll be planting the flags down below. I don't mind it. Like you said, we built some lineups and threw them in the Slack chat to just start conversation. And I did a few like a 9K, two 10Ks, and a couple 6K guys. Then you put a Pulitzer or a Kiz in there. might not win you the Millie, but you could probably finish pretty darn good in some of those. So
yeah, I think for guys that play Bryson, you're going to have to get pretty creative down here, and you're going to have to be in this area.
Yep, that's true. You got to get used to it, get comfortable, folks.
You know, so. It's a really interesting name down here, which he's been tough to watch since the restart with Henrik Stenson.
Oh, you know,
$6,800. I played him some in Bermuda, and he was awful.
Yeah. I thought he was going to withdraw at one point in time.
The guy putts worse than I do, and I can roll the rock okay at times. Man, he was terrible.
There is one guy that we talked about in the Slack that we didn't mention right now, Kevin. Did you have any thoughts on Mr. Jimmy Walker?
Yeah, actually, I do. Shamelessly, I've got it. You know, he's made the last five cuts here. And I can't remember if it was the U.S. Open or what it was, but I was big on him earlier in the year, and I kept pushing him. Come to find out, Bones is on the bag for him this week. And again, he's only got to beat 40 guys the first 2 days, and obviously his course history, not spectacular, two top 20s, but making the cut every time, and a guy who typically plays a big high draw, which is pretty darn good at Augusta. It's worth taking a look if you need to save some money. If you want to pack in a lineup with Rom and DJ or Rom and X, or even if you want to build a Bryson DJ lineup, then you're going to have to go down here to make it work. And it's worth taking a peek at Jimmy Walker.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. Let's do a quick recap for the listeners at home. 10K and above, who's your number one guy, Jesse?
DJ.
Kevin?
Yeah, it's DJ.
Yeah, I'll mix it up just for fun, but I'll go Rom. But yes, it's DJ. 9K range, who's your number one, Jesse?
I will say Brooks.
Kevin?
I would go Brooks as well, but X is very close.
Yeah, Brooks for me as well. So this is getting fun already. 8K range, go with two guys, Jesse.
Adam Scott and Tony Finau.
Kevin?
I'd go Matsuyama and Finau.
Yeah, I'm going Matsuyama and Finau. It's kind of tough to avoid those two. 7K range. Give me your top play, 7,500 and above, Jesse.
Louis.
Kevin?
Yeah, I'd go Louis too if I had to pick one. But Fitzpatrick's right there too.
Yeah, I'm going Fitzpatrick for me. And then your top guy, 7 to 7,400, Kevin. Jesse, sorry.
I would say, damn, that's...
You want to say Westwood, don't you?
I do, but he's just burnt me so bad. I like the Cam Smith call, man. I meant to click on him. I don't know. He's actually, I'm seeing a higher ownership on him.
I'm seeing around 10% right now.
Above the rest of the guys in that range. But either way, you know, I like the Cam Smith call. But yeah, second would be Westwood.
What about you, Kevin?
Yeah, it's Cam Smith. And I think a lot of us need to remember that the ownership in this thing is going to be a slight uptick on most all the guys because smaller field and
true.
25 of the guys don't matter at all.
It's a very good point. Very, very good point. My top guy would be Poulter. I'm going to go Ian. And then 6K range, give me your two top 6K values, Jesse.
I'll say Siwoo and Franny.
Kevin.
Yeah, I'd go Siwoo and Byrne.
I'm going to go with Hadwin and Connors. Those will be my two. All right, if you're starting a GPP lineup, give me three guys you'd start a lineup with, Jesse.
Three guys. Number one would be Adam Scott in a GPP. And then I think Kuchar is interesting, just looking at his ownership. And I love Brooks in GPPs this week.
What about you, Kevin?
I'd go three for a GPP. Cantlay, Day, and Finau.
I like that a lot. That's I'm going to go with Cantlay, Reed, and Ricky Fowler. There's my three GPP guys. Starting a cash lineup with three guys. What do you got, Jesse?
I mean, cash this week, I don't know that I would even play it. But if you are playing cash, I would look at somebody like Tony Finau at 8,800, and then one step down right at Hideki at 87. And then if you're looking for somebody kind of lower down the list there, I think Cam Smith is cash viable.
What about you, Kevin?
Yeah, I think I'd go DJ, Matsuyama, and most likely Reed.
Okay, yeah, for me it's it'll be Finau, Hideki, and Poulter. That's what I'll start with in cash. And now, most importantly, for everyone that cares, Kevin, who do you have winning this thing?
DJ.
Yeah, that makes the most sense to me. Jesse, what about you?
It doesn't really matter who I say because he's not going to win. Who do you have bets on right now, Kevin? Like, what do you have locked in at your?
I currently have 5 bets. I got DeChambeau on July 2nd for 2500, 25-1. Kepka on August 7th for +1570. Matsuyama on February 21st for +3270. Adam Scott on February 16th for +3970. And one that was looking good at the time, which is a complete waste of money at this point. The guy's got pretty darn good course history. But on March the 9th, I bet Mark Leishman to win it +4970. And I'm a Mark Leishman guy, and he has been such shit since the restart. And
yeah,
I don't know if he'll crack any of my 150.
Yeah, it sucks to see because Leishman's like one of those guys where I want to go play 18 and have a couple drinks with afterwards. Like, he seems like such a good dude, and it's not there right now. It's just, yeah. And you know,
so do you play Phil or Leishman?
I'd play Leishman. I think if anybody can figure it out, Leishman can before Phil. Like, it just tells you where I am. I'm not playing Phil. I'll play Fred Couples before I play Phil.
Yeah, I think I would even take Phil over Leishman at this point. I mean, it's weird. I really want to root for Leishman too. And I see why you would bet him at that price or whatever.
Well, that's typically March the 9th would be around Bay Hill. And he typically does great to start the season, and he's been great at Augusta. So obviously when I placed that bet on March 9th, Augusta was right around the corner. Augusta was a month away.
And we didn't know about this world we're living in now. So
exactly.
That doesn't even exist yet. So Jesse, do you want to throw out anything that tickles your fancy here?
I like the Scott call. He's available right now on Bovada at 40. So I'm a fan of that. And then, you know, other than that, man, I mean, I think the odds are pretty. I mean, you know, right now Bryson's 7.5 to 1. I don't think I could ever bet that unless I would parlay it with, you know, something to get it up towards 100, like all the good cappers do. Brooks at 16, I think is has some value there. As far as like a long shot, I mean,
your boy Franny's 100 to 1.
Yeah, Cam Smith 80 to 1.
There you go.
Louis 66 to 1. I saw somebody tweet today about like how close Louis has been to winning majors, and it's like,
oh yeah,
within like 5 of them, he's within the shot.
Yeah, remember his double eagle on number 2 several years ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, Usti at 66, Fitzpatrick at 80. You could even get Poulter at 150. Like, you don't have to take him straight up, but you know, T20s, T10s, like get some value out of that.
Great, all those guys are great top 10 bets.
Yeah, and that's how, like, lately on shows, I've been like, you know, the favorites, in reality, it should be Rahm or DJ or Bryson. Like, that's comes Sunday afternoon, and or Brooks or one of these guys up top should be hoisting this, or wearing the jacket. But I think you can find a lot more fun with, like, the T10, T20 bets with some of these deeper guys that can make a run in a big way. So, could be interesting. But that'll wrap us up, gentlemen. Kevin, final thoughts on the 2020 Masters.
I think it's great. It's really, really awesome that we get to end the golf season in Junkies League with the Masters. And before you know it, it'll be here again with azaleas blooming, hopefully, and getting a chance to see back-to-back Masters. Really looking forward to it. Hope the weather holds out enough for them to get started on Thursday and not be too much of a mess down there. But glad we got through this, this golf season and really looking forward to a start of a new year.
What about you, Jesse? Final thoughts?
Yeah, just from like a perspective of DraftKings, I do think like I get more hyped over the Masters in any tournament. I think it's the best major that there is. I do think that this year is a little bit different from the DraftKings perspective in that there's going to be a little bit more luck involved than typically. And obviously when we're betting, there's a lot of luck involved to begin with, but you got weather concerns, you got a little bit different grass concerns. So my advice is just don't get in over your head would be my advice, even though we are degenerates. I totally understand it. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying relax a little bit and enjoy it because it's going to be great coverage. I mean, they're going to have this app where you can basically get your DraftKings lineup on the app and watch every shot from all those guys. I mean,
What a concept.
Yeah. It's going to be insane, dude. I can't wait to see how it works out and how it all plays out as far as on that app, but I'm sure it'll be on their website as well. And anyways, it's the best time. It's the best golf tournament there is.
And we had a question from the Chicago Jay. And I think the answer got pretty simple for you. He said, are we worried about DJ having a rough round one and ruining his weekend? I think we all picked him to win. So I think we're all good on that one.
Yeah.
I think there's more pressure on Bryson than anyone else, right?
Oh, big time. Big time.
He's the guy that everyone's talking about. He's the far and away favorite. He's the guy that if anyone's expected to win by more than five shots, he's the guy. So having to start, I think he also starts on 10 right in the middle of the crap on Thursday morning at 7:40 in the morning. Don't be surprised if through three or four holes, he's several over par.
And then the fun begins.
I like Dom's comment there in the chat too, Phil with two wins in his past three events.
Red hot.
Dom's a smart guy. We're thinking alike. I like Dom.
Yeah, Dom's good. Another member of the Slack chat. So that's where I'll wrap this up is join us in the Slack chat. We've been in there all week talking about it. We usually go through our core cascades on Wednesday to try to help out in that respect. There's a lot of guys playing in there. It's a ton of fun. It's a good group we got going on over there. And all three of us are in there. All you got to do is hit us up. We usually pop in and talk about whatever. So
yeah,
Kevin, as always, thanks for joining us, my friend.
Yeah. Thanks, Kevin, yeah. Dude.
Thank you guys for having me. And, excited to be here and hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving if I don't talk to you much between now and then.
Most definitely. Hopefully we talked to you before then, but we will check out Kevin on Twitter at Kevin's Delight. Jesse's at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Entrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. But until next time, enjoy the Masters. See you guys next week.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of body plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.